payable to? That's a question that we answer every time we sign a check or a charge receipt or authorize an Apple Pay payment or hit submit in our online bill paying programs. This is payable to Green Mountain Power. This charge is payable to Shelburne Museum. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I make my money payable to something or someone, I like to know who or what it's going to, don't you? When I first moved to Vermont 10 years ago and somebody invited me to give a donation to COTS, I didn't know what that was, right? So I went and did some research and I discovered that it was the Committee on Temporary Shelter that provides housing for homeless folks and those who are marginally housed. Totally in line with my values and totally worth my money. JUMP, all these great acronyms, right? JUMP and CROP and PINS as well, right? So JUMP, providing basic needs and spiritual care. CROP seeks to end world hunger. PINS helps support vulnerable families in our area. All in line with my values and all worth my money. I don't think I'm alone in this, right? I think that most of us, most of the time, like to know what we're making our money payable to when we make it payable to something or someone. So with that in mind, a good and fair question for us, especially at the beginning of our annual stewardship campaign, a good question for us to ask ourselves and one another is this. What am I making my money payable to when I make it payable to the Charlotte Congregational Church? What am I making my money payable to when I make it payable to the Charlotte Congregational Church? Let's pray. Living God, though you're capable of this, we don't ask for lightning bolts this morning or whirlwinds or stiff breezes. We ask for simple things like time. Like space to think deeply about things that matter, about relationship, about your word becoming wisdom and action in our lives. So God, simply break open the word for us today that we might grow and transform. Amen. So, I'd like to spend a few minutes towards an answer to our question about what we're making our money payable to around here by looking at Isaiah chapter 58, which I think has a whole lot to say to us all the time, but especially at this time in the season of the church's life. It's helpful to know at the beginning here that the book of the prophet Isaiah was written over a long period of time by many different hands that we call collectively Isaiah. And of the 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, it's good to know that they are divided up into three major sections, roughly. So there is chapters 1 through 39 that are set at a time before 586 BCE, which is a really important date to know in biblical studies because that's the date when the Babylonian nation knocked on the gates of Jerusalem, destroyed the city, destroyed the temple, and sent many of the elites off to exile in Babylon, beginning the exile period. The second section of Isaiah, chapters 40 through 55, are set at a time during the exile, right? And this book is often called the Book of Comfort because it gives words of comfort to a broken people. Comfort, O comfort my people, we hear during Advent, comes from Isaiah chapter 40. Our passage this morning from chapter 58 comes in the third and final section, which runs 56 to 66, and that is set in a time after the exile period, where the people begin to return home from Babylon to resettle Jerusalem and the surrounding area. Let's take a second to think about what that must have been like all those years ago, right? Here you have a Jewish people that see themselves as God's chosen people who have a special covenant relationship with God, and God has promised to protect them and to provide for them and to just generally take care of them, to continue the line of King David forever. But then the unthinkable happens in 586 BCE when Babylon knocks on the gates and destroys everything, destroys the temple, and sends the people into exile. It was a crisis in every way, and it was a crisis theologically speaking, as the people felt abandoned, maybe forever, by the God who had once saved them from slavery in Egypt, led them into the promised land, but now has allowed them to be almost completely destroyed by the enemies of Israel. It's a crisis. So generations go by until 539 BCE, when King Cyrus of Persia comes to power and dominance in the region and says to the Jewish people, okay, you can go home again. Simple as that, right? Well, it had been so long, and many of the people didn't want to go home. They had intermarried, they had lives and families. Many of them had never been to Jerusalem. They didn't want to go back or go there for the first time at all. So many of them didn't go, but some of them did. And they began to trickle home from Babylon to Jerusalem and to settle in the surrounding area, and it was really hard. It wasn't good there. It was a time where the people came back to destruction and poverty and hardscrabble living and sorrow and vulnerability. There was restoration and repair that needed to happen all over the place. It's hard to hear a passage like this and not think about what's going on in the world right now, right? Volcanoes erupting. Hurricanes affecting Houston and Florida and Puerto Rico, and earthquakes in Mexico and so many other places as well. People returning home to homes and communities and finding destruction and sorrow and the need for restore and repair all over the place. Well, in the 6th century BCE, as the people came home and began to resettle in this hardscrabble life, the community that developed seems to have turned inward on itself. And there seems to be a spirit of survival of the fittest. The word of the prophet is needed to wake the people up and to call them to attention and call them back to God's ways. And so Isaiah comes to them with a screeching voice and a wagging finger and says to them, look, you've got this great opportunity, right, to restore Jerusalem, restore the community, to repair your relationship with God, and you're screwing it up, like seriously, right? You are bickering and fighting with one another. You are becoming merely religious, right? Going through the religious motions. You are oppressing one another and harming one another, and that is exactly the opposite of what God wants you to do. And what God wants you to do is to simple to say anyway, to seek justice and to feed one another and to house one another. And God wants you to do that because God knows that when you do that, that allows God to lead you into life, to lead you into the resources that you want and you need. That will allow God to lead you into a restored Jerusalem, into a healing and healthy community that other people can look at and say, aha, those people are repairers of the breach and restorers of streets to live in. So that's what the prophet Isaiah screamed at the people. It's hard to say how the original people heard that and how they took it. Prophets don't have a great track record. They're usually killed or something terrible happens to them. But we don't know what happened originally. But I know that the words of Isaiah 58 have been wildly influential on the Judeo-Christian tradition and the world ever since. We see evidence of Isaiah 58's influence in places like Joel, Ezekiel, Malachi, Zechariah, Ephesians, and Jesus himself in the famous Sermon on the Mount. We see the evidence of the influence of Isaiah 58 not only in those biblical books, but also lived out in the life of the church communities, the Christian faith communities that developed over time, leading up into this one today. And as we look around at the Charlotte Congregational Church, isn't it true that we do our best not to fight with one another? Don't we try not to be merely religious? Don't we seek justice and to feed one another and to care for one another? Isaiah 58 was written a long time ago and very far away from us, but it still continues to shape who we are and what we do. And the marks of Isaiah 58 are all over this church and churches just like us. Which brings us back to our opening question this morning about what we are making our money payable to when we make it payable to the Charlotte Congregational Church. So here's an answer to this question for your reflection. You can see what you think. But when you make your money payable to the Charlotte Congregational Church, I think you are making it payable to a vital, vibrant, and faithful community of people following a Jewish rabbi named Jesus who knew all about Isaiah 58, talked about it, tried to live it out himself. We are a community that stands in the line of Joel, Ezekiel, Malachi, Zechariah, Ephesians, and Jesus himself. We are a community that when we are at our best, are repairers of the breach and restorers of streets to live in. And what that looks like here is a lot of things. And I'm new around here, so I'll miss a lot of it. But I know that it looks like the circle of care and the circle of prayer. It looks like apple pies and Harvest Fest, right? It looks like Sunday school faith formation and adult education and Bible studies and book studies. It looks like Olivia Brand raising $870, in part through our donations, to help us all be repairers of the breach and restorers of streets to live in. It looks like worship. It looks like music. It looks like caring for one another and being with one another in good times and in bad. And it looks like 1,000 other things. But when you put it all together, what you get is a vital, vibrant, and faithful community that other people look at and say, ah, they are repairers of the breach and restorers of. So here's the appeal. Marilyn, thank you for doing such a wonderful job in introducing our stewardship campaign. And as she said, you will be receiving in the mail a packet of information in the coming days. And as part of that, you will see a narrative budget, which shows us in concrete and practical ways what you are making your money payable to when you make it payable to the Charlotte Congregational Church. It's a narrative budget, but it's also a prayer guide. And I invite you to look at it, to reflect on it prayerfully, to have conversations with your family, and consider giving generously to the Charlotte Congregational Church so that in 2018 we can again be repairers and restorers. As for Deirdre and I, we plan to give generously in 2018 according to our means, not because we have to or not because we should, but we're planning to give generously because very recently we chose to be here among you. We believe in you and what God is doing through you and what you are doing in Christ's name. We will give generously because we are acutely aware that in here and out there, there is so much repairing and restoring that needs to happen, and that we are equipped to start to, well, to continue to work on. And so, in 2018, may we all give generously together in such a way that other people look at us and say, aha, ha, the Charlotte Congregational Church. They are at their best when they're repairing the breach and restoring streets to live.